This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Joining us once again here on the program, we have Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade. Martinez has been an adjunct professor for almost 14 years, engaging in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, as well as continues to see a small caseload of individual and couples clients through telemental health services. Her large catalog of articles for the Huffington Post and EverydayPower.com can be seen in the show notes from her work as a contributor for both publications. And today's topic, we'll be covering habits that kill your self-confidence, causes of low self-esteem, and how to change them. And Dr. Martinez, thanks for joining us once again here on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
Always good to have you. Trust you enjoyed your holiday. So let's get underway here today. You note that while not consistent, there are common causes of low self-esteem. What are some of those causes? I'm sure listeners have already, you've piqued the interest already before you've even said a word.
Correct. And by noting that they're not consistent, it means that they don't universally apply to everyone, but they are common, meaning they apply to many individuals who have low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is one of the main reasons people enter therapy that I see, and reasons that people have developed low self-esteem are often varied, but these are probably the most common reasons that people do. And despite some of the most common things that have plagued people, they follow them through their adult life. For example, the media, people develop body image issues from the portrayals of individuals in the media. That is one of the most common themes that I hear, and these are we see these in adults 30 years later, that they see the portrayals from magazines, movies, ad campaigns, individuals that don't look like them, the lack of diversity in campaigns from all the years. We see students who are struggling academically without parental and scholastic supports. Children who are having a hard time in school in general, or even in a particular subject, who don't receive the help and support they need at school, at home, are greatly increased risk of suffering from low self-esteem because they feel as if they're not meeting the level of their counterparts in school. They feel ill-equipped, and there's no way of knowing where else they're struggling as well. They often won't ask for help or ask for someone to intervene, and it's often too late when an adult figure notices what's going on. Bullying is another issue that can start young and it can last a lifetime. Children and teens who are bullied and teased or put down develop negative self-images, and this can carry into their adult lives. And the damage that bullying causes, that can really hold on to pain and a negative self-image for individuals. Someone who suffered trauma during an important developmental time in their life, this can be physical, emotional, or sexual. This can cause low self-esteem and a negative self-image for an individual that can have a permanent impact on the way the individual sees themselves or feels about themselves, or as if they did something wrong, especially if they don't get the help that they need in early intervention or at some point in their lives. And then lastly, one of the more common themes is it sort of ties back into the first point that I was talking about, and that's both social media and the media. This can have a very negative impact on an individual's self-esteem. While there's been some slight progress in this area, we still present young people with unrealistic images of what they should look like, what makes people popular, what makes an ideal image, from airbrushed pictures to models with unattainable figures. Youth are left believing that this is what they're supposed to look like and what is of value. What they can achieve when it's actually unachievable. So these are their role models and what they strive for in terms of what they're sort of given the idea they're supposed to strive for in terms of behavior, accomplishments, what's to be admired. So when they compare that, they can feel like a failure or less than. And so it can make them have these negative self-images and low self-esteem.
Well, the struggle certainly is real when it comes to low self-esteem. Thanks for covering some of the causes in those regards. Now, what are the common habits people engage in that destroy their self-confidence?
Those who have habits that they repeat that destroy their self-confidence is they cut themselves down. They are often engaging in social, what we sort of ended the last question on, what we call social media living, where they are comparing themselves to their friends and people they see on social media. I'll often explain to them that even that person on social media, that's not their life. They're only posting the best moment of that day, of that week, of that month, and that might not even be a realistic depiction of what was going on in that moment. That's only a picture that they snap, but they compare themselves and they say their life is so much better, it's so much happier, everyone I know, look at this. And so they're social media living. They think that everyone else has a perfect life and their life is in shambles, or they don't have these things that everyone they know has. And so by comparison, they feel as if they don't have anything of value going on, or they feel that they can't talk to their friends because they're the only one in their group without X. There's negative thinking that they take part in. They stop so many times a day and engage in negative self-talk. If we actually tracked, even us, because we're all guilty of it, if we actually stopped and tracked how many times per day we engaged in negative self-talk, we would be astounded. And I often have people just for a day keep track of how many times they do, and they are floored it when they stop and actually pay attention to it. If we, from looking in the mirror and criticizing that we look tired to thinking what I just said was so stupid, we are just constantly taking part in this. If we turned it into something was even not good enough, that's better. That's course correcting to a kinder, gentler language. And if we keep course correcting from there, it starts to work towards a better outcome to hopefully eventually positive self-talk. Another area is perfectionism. Somewhere people got the idea that they needed to be perfect or produce perfect results. And they're not able to stop and look around and realize that true perfection does not exist. It's putting a completely unattainable level of pressure and burden upon themselves. And people have this idea they have to look perfect, work perfectly, act perfectly at all times. And this creates a situation that's exceptionally hard on themselves when they can't achieve it because it's impossible to achieve. This takes a huge hit to their self-esteem, and anything less than perfect is a failure. And so they're always going to fail. And then they believe they're not worthy because they're not perfect. And so helping to have them set a more realistic image of themselves and to see other people more realistically is really important. Another area is giving over our power to everybody else. And we have all been guilty of this in our lives, even probably at the present time. There are people in our lives that we do this to in small and large ways. Many people believe they have no control over their lives or over certain areas of their lives or over certain topics of their lives. But some people sort of globally believe they have no personal control when they have significant issues with low self-confidence. So if a person believes that their supervisor holds all the power, then they feel helpless at work. Then they allow themselves to be treated poorly and they won't be given opportunities. People who believe in their families, that someone else should make all the decisions for them, then they will often allow bad choices to be made for them. Or someone who stays in an unhealthy relationship because they have low self-confidence, even though they know that this isn't healthy for them, or this person isn't good for them, or they may even know they could do better because they give that person their power. And they've bought into the person telling them, no one will like you, no one will care for you except for me. When the truth is they're being treated poorly in maybe even all of these areas, when there are new other opportunities out there for them and all of these areas or any one that they're involved in.
Now, we've looked at the causes of low self-esteem and also habits that people engage in that destroy their self-confidence. So what can people do to start building up their self-esteem?
In a way that they can do that, an impact in the way they can look at increasing their self-esteem by working with someone to set more realistic ways that they compare themselves to others. That looked at, we looked at, for example, like shattering the social media living, realizing that no one is perfect at all, challenging their negative thinking and replacing those thoughts with more positive, realistic ones. I talked about for an entire day, keeping track of how many times they have a negative thought. They can not give their power over to other people, especially in those really important and pertinent areas of their lives, work, relationships, family. They can learn to believe that they have something meaningful to say and add to a group, because every single person does. Every single person's voice has value. And they can learn to believe that they're a unique, engaging person, and they will be surprised what they have to add in all of those areas of functioning of their life.
Dr. Martinez, a great topic to cover, really needed, and I can't get enough of this, I'm sure, for our listening audience. So thank you so much for the details shared so far. We're again speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and also has been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years as she engages in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations and offers individuals and couples consulting via telemental health services. She's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Health News and Mental Health Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, you've noted that you have some favorite resources as well as some ideas on how people can find some that fit their individual needs. Talk to us about that.
I do. There are some great resources where people can get some help, self-help and some great self-esteem building resources. Some of these are Elephant Journal, Zen Habits. They can find groups where they can meet up for social anxiety. Where they live, meetup.com has those. I've actually had patients meet their partners through going to social anxiety groups. So you can find one in your area, sign up for our groups. There's some great sites. There's Everyday Power, and launching this week is going to be resilientstories.com.
Yet another great resource to tap into. Thanks for mentioning that as well. Lastly, you had some simple suggestions on the way individuals can improve their social skills or feel comfortable in social situations. Get into that as we conclude today.
Yes. If we can improve our interactions, we can further our social life, our work life, our relationships. Often I hear people struggle with their social skills, whether it's social anxiety, not knowing how to correctly read other people. 97% of communication is unspoken. It's body language. So learning to improve your social skills is going to improve all these areas of functioning in your life. So we can learn how to going to things like the meetup.com for social anxiety, learning how to practice the skills like carrying ourselves in an interview. It's said that an interviewer decides in the first 60 seconds whether they would hire someone. So just working on those skills, having a few topics of conversation for social situations in your back pocket, just simple ones. Learning to be a great active listener, and learning to talk, shutting down distractions, not having your phone out when you're talking. All of these things make a huge difference. And just working on like one or two at a time and not getting overwhelmed.
Dr. Martinez, always great to have you on the program. Thanks for your coverage on today's topic, habits that kill your self-confidence. Tell us, where can listeners get more information on yourself? Also tap into your resources and be in touch as well.
They can reach me at drnikkimartinez.com. That's drnikkimartinez.com. They can reach me at my LinkedIn. It's the LinkedIn, nikki-martinez. And launching is a new website that I joined as part of as an author, resilientstories.com. And I hope they'll check it out.
And of course, listeners, as always, you can draw your attention to the show notes of this broadcast for all the links included as well. Dr. Martinez, all the best. And again, we thank you for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thanks so much.
Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and also has been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years, engaging in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, and offers individual and couples consulting via telemental health services. And for all the details, simply visit drnikkimartinez.com. And of course, the show notes will provide all the other resources mentioned in today's broadcast as well. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the Health Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more Health Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at ehealthradionetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.